You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
And I love that meme that shows a kid playing in the rain. If you've ever seen children play in the rain, they just absolutely love it. What is it about mud puddles and such? I remember one time I was talking to my mom, she's years ago, and in my hometown in North Carolina, we had some folks, I think they were some of that had escaped from a war-torn place in Africa, and they had walked, you know, and had just been through all kinds of adversity and stuff, and here they were in the South, and a place that was probably pretty strange, and they were getting used to it, and for the very first time in their lives, believe it or not, they were seeing snow. And my mom said, you know, why everybody else is going, oh, no, it's terrible and everything, you know, Southerners and an inch of snow. Here we go. But they just loved it. They were out in it, playing in it like little kids, you know, which they were at heart. It's pretty amazing, right? And the meme says, don't wait for things to get better. Life will always be complicated. Learn to be happy right now. Otherwise, oh, believe you me, you're going to run out of time.
Listener supported, The Sound of Life.
The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Even a man who had his crimes included 8 shootings, killed 6 people, started nearly 1,500 fires that terrorized New York City in the 1970s. He left letters at his crime scenes taunting the police, and he was eventually apprehended, of course, given consecutive sentences of 25 years to life for each murder. Yet God reached down to this man. Today he's a believer in Christ who spends time daily in the scriptures. He has expressed deep regret to his victims' families and continues to pray for them. Although imprisoned for more than 40 years, this man who seemed beyond redemption finds hope in God and claims, and I quote, "My freedom is found in one word, Jesus." Scripture tells of another unlikely conversion before he met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. You know who I'm talking about. His name was Saul, later became Paul, the Apostle Paul, breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, yet Paul's heart and life were transformed by Jesus, and he became one of the most powerful witnesses for God in history. The man who once plotted the death of Christians devoted his life to spreading the hope of the gospel. And that's why he often referred to himself as the least worthy of sinners, right? Redemption is always a miraculous work of God. Always a miraculous work of God. And it's something to remember. Some stories are more dramatic, of course, but the underlying truth remains the same. None of us deserve God's forgiveness, yet Jesus is a powerful Savior. He saves completely those who come to God through him. Check that out in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Very cool. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You died to bring us into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Sound of Life.
I've got to say congratulations not only to a valedictorian, but I don't know what she's getting more publicity for, the fact that she's a valedictorian of high school in Mount Vernon, the Nellie A. Thornton High School. Maybe you heard of that. Or the fact that she has a perfect attendance record since pre-K. Incredible. Or the fact that she got over $400,000 in scholarships. Congratulations. Wow. Go out to Ashanti Palmer. She said she really didn't think about the attendance, of course. That's just something, you know, and she got in 10th grade and realized, wait a minute, I've got perfect attendance. I'm going to try to get perfect attendance after that. But she's a brilliant person. She's going to go to, as we all know, RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. This is really cool. Now, I really, really think this is an incredible field of endeavor. Somebody who's I've sold before, you know, implant, like total joints and things like that and stuff. And so, you know, seeing development in things, biomechanical studies, biomedical engineering is what she wants to study. Ashanti does. So she's going to go to RPI, and then she's going to become an engineer, and then she's going to go to an Ivy League medical school. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's going to do this. And so that's her goal right there. coming out of Mount Vernon, New York. That is really, really cool, and it'll be incredibly exciting, especially for the people that benefit because of your God-given ability and brain to be able to see things that other people can't see. That's the biomechanical part of that, to be able to develop things. You know, we've come so far. It's just incredible when you think about it. You know, things that are really so simple now. I mean, they're not simple. Everything, when you do something on somebody else, is a big deal to that family, you know. But it's just amazing and thrilling, I think, to be able to do that. Just keep giving God the credit. You know, he's the one that made your brain and made you that smart like that. And I wanted to give you a little recognition there of all the high school graduates. That's one you ought to say, hey, congratulations to Shanti Palmer there in Mount Vernon. I'm sure there was lots of times, you know, that you probably didn't feel all that great about going to school, but you did, and now you're all excited. You're going to make a big difference in the world.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast.
Yeah.
The Sound of Life.
Toby Mac kicked off his drive-in theater concert series in Tennessee over the weekend. And he was, you know, all excited about that. These guys just they're just tired of being in the house, you know, out in the driveway performing, which Toby Mac's done a pretty good job with. But Josh Wilson back on the road as well, outdoor show in Virginia. He said, playing an outdoor show this evening so we can socially distance and be together. So we got some Instagram pics on that. Chris Tomlin doing the drive-in theater concerts this summer, taking it a step further over the weekend. Chris posted, I want to invite you to join me for my worship tailgate tour this summer. These events provide a safe way to come together and remind us how simple songs of worship can connect and give us a voice together some of the hardest times. He's a good idea. This night is about gathering all streams of the church as one voice. So bring your families and friends, pop the tailgate down, let's worship together under the summer sky. So maybe you'll have your tailgate up in, you know, your laptop, computer up there. Some of the monitors I've seen lately, it's, you know, pretty big. I mean, it's like being there, so it's really pretty cool. A lot of things going on. Surprise me, staying in the car is a big thing. You know what that means? Coming back, I saw a picture of a couple sitting, they were parking in, I guess it's a fast food, I don't know where they were, but they were in a parking lot somewhere, and they had the tailgate of the pickup truck down, and they're sitting in their, you know, chairs that they brought with them, and they're sitting there eating on the back of the tailgate. I thought, yeah, there you go, eating in the car. Now, you know what that is? Do you remember that, kids? The drive-in, yeah, when it used to be very, very popular. And until the cars got so expensive, it was like, no, we're not eating in the car anymore. So, but they would bring you all that food. Can you imagine? You know, you got all the kids in the back seat and everything, and you got all that food sitting there at the window. What could go wrong? That's a drive-in theater, but they're coming back. That kind of thing is coming back. I didn't think of that. Could have been in on that. But no, but that's okay. People just want to eat, I guess, in New York City. People are just all over the place outside, you know, and stuff. I was thinking, watching them a couple of weeks ago before they actually opened up, and they were setting up outside because restaurants in New York City have just taken over the sidewalks. And there's tons of them. I mean, there's like 47,000 restaurants in New York City. I saw that figure. I thought, whoa, that even surprised me. But they're all outside, and they got to measure, so every table is 6 feet apart. And I had that image in my mind as I was waiting in the drive-thru at our local Dairy Cream, which is a pretty popular place in the afternoon. And they have a picnic table set out. And I just laughed at myself. People wonder, what is wrong with him, you know? But I'm laughing to myself because I said, we never had to measure. Those picnic tables got to be 12 to 15 feet apart. We in the country have never had to measure to make sure we were 6 feet apart. We've been social distancing for years.
Waking up with a cup of Joe on the Sound of Life.
He's rambling this morning, boy.
The Sound of Life.
Talking about the doctor who said detached retinas couldn't be repaired. She lived without sight for 15 years there in Montana. She learned Braille. She learned how to use a cane. She had a service dog. Her husband asked a simple question of another eye doctor. Could she be helped? And the answer was yes. as the doctor discovered the woman had a common eye condition, cataracts, which the doctor removed from her right eye. When the eye patch came off the next day, her vision was 20/20. A second surgery for her left eye met with equal success. A simple question changed her life. Imagine that. Wow, it's amazing. There's a guy in the Bible that had that happen too, Naaman. Powerful military man. He had leprosy. Boy, Naaman raged arrogantly at the prophet Elisha's instructions to, and I quote, "Wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored." If I had leprosy, and somebody told me, "Your flesh will be restored if you do this," boy, you really have to wonder. You know, he said, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And then he was persuaded, and he went and washed, and his flesh was restored and became clean. Now, it's interesting. It's so simple. Wash myself seven times in the Jordan. I mean, maybe I'd do that too. I honestly don't know. You've got something like that, like leprosy. Oh, man, you can't imagine. And then so you're kind of fried to begin with, right? Sometimes we're like that. We're just kind of like that. Sometimes we struggle with a problem because we just don't ask, God, will you help? As simple as it sounds. Should I go, Lord? Will you lead, Lord? He doesn't require complicated questions from us. Before they call, I will answer. God promised his people in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. So today, why don't we just simply ask God? It's a pretty cool devotional there from Patricia Raven. Dear Heavenly Father, when life feels complicated and difficult, thank you for your promise to hear even my simple prayers.
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
So I just came across this news right here that kind of struck me. It's about a woman who happened to be in Italy. And she was all set, ready to run a marathon. She's in pretty good shape, obviously. I mean, you don't even have to look at her to know she's in good shape. I think at first I thought she was 87. She's not anywhere near 87. She just ran 87 marathons. What? She was in Italy. She was ready to run a marathon. And, of course, the COVID-19 brought it all to a halt. And so she said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run a marathon anyway on my treadmill, because she must be using that to train, and she's used to that. Because if you weren't, I don't know how in the world, why would you run that far? Anyway, her name is, and a big shout out to Elisa Clark, originally from Bennington, Vermont. She was living in Italy. So then she just ran one, and then she decided to run another one. And then she did another one. And then she did another one. And then she did another one. Every day, consecutive days, running a marathon. And then she started running them outside when they restricted, you know, when the restrictions were lifted. She has run 87 consecutive marathons. As of last week, she's going to keep going until she reaches 100.
Shazam.
The sound of life.
Very big event I did last night. I tell you, I'm still thinking about that. It's pretty amazing. Went out to eat. Inside. We were like, wow. We're driving around Albany, around Wolf Road, the state campus and stuff. And I'll tell you why. But we were driving around. My wife's like going, you know, we haven't been out. And it showed. I mean, very unfamiliar. What do we do? You know? So my daughter was taking a state test. She took her state boards, licensing boards, to be an RN yesterday. It was amazing how she got in. There was only four people total taking that test. And that's why it spread out. She said, if you go look to sign up to take it in Albany, there's you way into the fall. And so she said, okay, well, I want to get this done, even though she has a job coming up at St. Peter's in Albany. That's coming up pretty quick. But they're okay. They're good for that, even though she hasn't passed that. They understand the situation. So she wanted to do it. So they had an opening in New York City. So today, I think, was the day she was going to be going to New York City. So she that's the way she is. She's like, man, I'm doing this. But she kept checking back, you know, checking back and looking to see. And then, I mean, just a couple of days ago, boom, there's an opening in Albany. Do you want, you know, bam, push that button, quick, get me in. And so she did. Somebody wanted a little more time. They said, I need a little more time to study before I take it. And she's like, get me in there. And she did it. So my wife and I went to Albany, pouring rain, got a little bit lost. So we made our way around a few other roundabouts, you know, and apparently I can't count to which exit to take, you know, the third one, I'm not sure, I missed it. Anyway, we had a little tour of the state campus. Thank you very much for getting us trapped in there and then out on to I-90 and stuff. But we made it back. And she said, it's so frustrating because I saw the building. I can see the building. I just can't get to it. But we made it. We thought we might be late, but we were not. We saw her car, and then we waited. And she came out and totally surprised her. And then we went out to eat on Wolf Road. Big sign up, you know, we're open indoor dining. So they do every other booth, every other table, right? It's weird because your server, you don't see their face. He's a really nice man, really nice guy. And we taught the, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's getting a lot of questions and things like that. He said, we have somebody in the back's full-time job is just to clean the menus. You know, and a lot of places don't have that. Some places you go and you basically, there's a where to scan on your phone and you get a menu on your phone. We paid for that on our phone. When we get the check, you get the little receipt thing. It's got, I don't know what that's called, funny little thing. You wonder what it is. You take a picture of it on your phone. It connects you and stuff like that. It was very interesting. Paying that way. And we were like, do you know if we paid? He said, no, which was started all another conversation. But he said, I'm not chasing anybody anyway. But it was really a lot of fun to go out there. And the big thing was surprising my daughter.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
So in risk of advertising, you know, but I talk about the Glutino Oreo cookies. I realize that doesn't make any sense. They don't call them Oreos, obviously, but they are gluten-free copy of Oreo cookies. Boy, are they good. I mean, if you're gluten-free, you're always looking for that little cookie treat, you know, and there's only a handful of them. Now, the Tate's chocolate chip cookies or some of the other cookies they make, you know, that are gluten-free. Be careful where you get them. Pay like $6 for a little package of cookies. But and I don't even know how much the Glutino ones are, but I know they're right there on the gluten-free rack at the store. But speaking of Oreo cookies and the fact that it's, you know, this year, no parade, that's a big deal right there down Main Street. It's one of the biggest things and traditions we do right there. But, you know, there's some things we're making do. We're starting to get out a little bit more. But Oreo has decided, and they have announced the latest variety. It's out all over social media, so you probably know already. And they posted on Facebook, Firework Cookies. They're cream-filled cookies with red and blue popping candy. Right? It's three layers of standard vanilla stuff, whatever it is. One red, one white, and one blue. They're really cool looking. In fact, the photograph I was looking at was so cool looking. I thought, man, if the cookie looked like that, I'd be hard pressed to eat it. I mean, I would, but I might just pop the whole thing in my mouth and eat it. That'd be decadent, wouldn't it? Pretty amazing. They're the you know, the chocolate cookies and all that kind of stuff. If you look up at the chocolate wafers, you'll see that they have an American flag and the five Olympic rings embossed on top. That's absolutely incredible.
To infinity and beyond.
Listener supported, The Sound of Life.
So at the great risk of doom scrolling, which I don't want to do again anytime soon, but I probably will one of these days, but I was looking at the news this morning, and the Supreme Court now in the month of June, for some reason, has turned out that's when they issue these big decisions on cases they've been looking at. And of course, that's what we've been hearing about for the last couple of weeks. But yesterday, they made a ruling. I think it surprised a lot of people. They ruled in favor of taxpayer funding for religious schools. You hear that? Taxpayer funding for religious schools. It was a 5-4 ruling. The court essentially backed a Montana tax credit scholarship program, and you can donate to a private scholarship organization helping students pay for their choice of private schools. This is something that different areas and places have been wanting anyway, as you well know, and that's one of the reasons I say you're in a tough neighborhood here for private schools, because you still have to pay, whether you have children or not. Of course, you're in a school district and you have to pay for that. So if your child goes to another school, you don't get any credit at all to go to that. You don't get any help at all to go to that school. And so that's what makes it difficult, and especially in this season where more and more people are thinking about alternatives to sending their children back to school. I just happen to know that. All right. So they're helping students pay for their choice of private schools. Wow. The state's revenue department made a rule banning those tax credit scholarships from going to religious schools before the state Supreme Court later struck down the entire program. All right. So the ruling is a historic win for families who want school choice right now. Hashtag school choice. That's what it is. So there's a lot of talk about that today, I guess. There'll be some. I mean, there should be. So there's different ideas about that. You know, people have cited that the GI Bill was one of those government big, huge programs to help soldiers returning from World War II to get an education. Now, the GI Bill would help out a soldier go to any school they wanted to go to, whether it was religious in nature or not, Christian school or not. So the people have cited that, saying the government has, you know, funded bits to go to schools of our choice. That's kind of the way it is. That is an example of a historic thing. So that's a very neat decision. Interesting that was a 5-4 decision again. Boy, these things. So very interesting, and something that I thought you might want to know. So I kind of waited, just like I do early in the morning. I go through those spider webs and cobwebs or whatever they are to get the same ones every day in the same place. So to get through, so you don't have to do that, I scrolled through the news this morning and found that good golden nugget.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Welcome, Dad. Can you put the cat out? I didn't know it was on fire. Dad jokes right there. Where is it? I need it quickly. All right, you want another one? Okay, you got dad jokes. I got them all the time. Where do you learn to make ice cream? Sunday school. Yes, indeedy. All right, here we go. On a day when a lot of people are talking about the funny man Carl Reiner, he passed away yesterday, I believe, and it just happens to correspond with 1st of July, happens to be International Joke Day. I have to be careful. I'll start sounding like a 1960s Carl Reiner. He's the one that brought us Dick Van Dyke Show. I think it was, yeah, that, and just so much humor, and he worked with people. I mean, he had an incredible show. But Matthew Rosenberg tweeted out probably one of the best links ever about his dad. He said, it was around 20 years ago. My dad had his early birthday call with his brother. They're twins. My dad mentioned having beef stroganoff, and my uncle asked why he always had that on his birthday. Now, his dad was kind of confused, and he just said, because of the sketch. All right? So because of the sketch, it was a sketch that Carl Reiner did on his show. All right. And in the show, the special guest went, Sid Caesar was on there. And it was incredible. Charlton Heston was on there. And so Charlton Heston, there were like spies or something. He's like, you go to the diner and ask for beef stroganoff. And so, okay, so he goes to the diner and said, what do you have? Beef stroganoff. Okay. And then Charlton Heston walks over. And he says, can I help you? He said, I asked for beef stroganoff. And Charlton Heston kind of pauses, and then in that deep voice, deadpans, I am beef stroganoff. And he thought it was really funny. He thought it was the funniest thing he had ever heard was Matthew's dad. And so every year on his birthday, he had beef stroganoff. All right? So anyway, all those times, and then he got talking with his brother, and his brother's like, this is like 20 years ago, his brother's like, it wasn't beef stroganoff. It was the Sauerbraten, I think is what it was. And so they got in a disagreement right there. And he always wanted to know. And he had like every VHS, DVD thing, recording of the program he could, except for that particular sketch. He never got that one. So about 10 years after the 20-year-ago conversation with his brother, and every year they go back and forth on what he really said, he found out that Carl Reiner had a new book out, and he was going to be signing and giving a talk at the in New York at 92nd Street Y. And my dad sees his chance, and he buys tickets as fast as he can, and he gets there. And it was really cool because he had a question for him about that, but he wrote a letter to him just in case he didn't have time. And he gets there, and he asked Carl Reiner about this whole sketch and everything. He said, man, that was a long time ago. He said, I'll be honest with you, I don't really remember, but Beef Stroganoff is funny. I like that. It's really kind of cool. Okay, and he said, oh, by the way, I got something for you. I want to give this to you. And so he did. He left in a letter, and he didn't think that much about it. And sometime later, his dad was out, but they get a phone call, and the man says, can I, you know, speak to Mr. Rosenberg? And it's like, no, he's out right now. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just try to call him back sometime. Just tell him Carl Reiner called. Seriously. And so they were like, oh, no. So he does. And so for a week, he said, my dad answers the phone. Hello, hello, you know, like that. And sure enough, after about a week, he called. Hey, there he is. You know, he called him up and they talked about stuff. And he said it was the greatest time in his life. You know, it was just amazing. And he read the letter and everything. And it was just a really, really cool time that they had. And he really did call him. And the thing is, he said, I'm going to put you on speakerphone because I'm here with my friend having dinner with Mel Brooks and Sid Caesar. And I'm putting you, Mr. Rosenberg, on speakerphone. And, you know, he said, I'm just sharing it with them and all that kind of stuff. And you got to remember the sketch that Carl Reiner did was 50 years ago. So I guess nobody could remember what it was. And so finally, my dad is in New York and they're looking at, I guess you go to a place, I know there's broadcasting museums and things. He's looking at old clips and the very last one had that sketch in it and he couldn't wait. And so he comes up, Charlton Heston, he says, you asked for the Sauerbraten. And he's like, oh, well, Carl Reiner said Beef Stroganoff was funnier, and I'm the one that thought of Beef Stroganoff. And really, Carl Reiner was the reason that Matthew Rosenberg's dad went into writing anyway. And so, you know, it all kind of worked out, and it was really kind of cool. And he said it was one of the best things that ever happened to my dad. And it was just really pretty cool. And I thought I'd tell that neat story that you'll never hear anywhere else, probably. And I'm glad that Matthew tweeted it out, because it's probably one of the best things on Twitter in a long time.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
Years ago, and I mean 100 years ago, it would have been, well, back in my childhood, you know, at least 100 years ago, it would have been part of a riddle, you know, how in the world could this doctor become a mom, you know, and stuff like that. Well, nowadays it's easy, right? A pediatrician's a woman. That's the way it is. Now she can call herself a mom. She's been calling herself a pediatrician because that's what she is. It's a pretty cool story, though. Her name is, I can't pronounce it right, Arrivietta Edge. She actually met DJ. He was 10 when he came into her office for a checkup with his foster parents. And then he later met DJ's biological sister, Brianna, who was 7. And she's telling the news people that she always wanted to foster and adopt a child. And she even mentioned it to DJ's foster parents during the visit. It's very interesting that you would do that, I think. She said, 2 years later, they contacted me. And she remembered thinking, they want me to take those children. We met, and that was that. She said, I have fostered DJ and Brianna before adopting them. She officially, that's the big deal, man. being adopted on May 11th, 2020 via Zoom video conference. See? Things are happening. God is working, and it's really cool. Do you realize that if you are a follower of Jesus, you're adopted. You're adopted into the family. You're forever home. You know, all those terminologies are really kind of cool, and they apply to you as a believer. That's really very cool. But you have a place that you can't even imagine, right? God is preparing a place for you. Think about what God has prepared. Think about all the things that you see, that we're able to see, whether they're microscopic or celestial or butterflies right in front of you, or maybe they're just now turning into butterflies, whatever they are, those wormy things. Anyway, no, but I was just thinking, it's really kind of cool. That's why we love adoption stories.
The Sound of Life.
Haven't heard from Jeff Foxworthy in a while. Wow-wee. So I got a hold of this, and I think he's absolutely right. You know, when a comedian says something like that, and people kind of laugh, it's like, yeah, that's really true. Women are laughing like, what? And men are like, oh, yeah, that's true. And as he said, Jeff Foxworthy, talking about the difference between men and women, which is always funny, and it is amazing. But again, remember, women have 40% more brain connections. 40% more. They're all over us. They're all over us. They can think of things. We haven't even gotten to step one yet. We're like, well, wait a minute. I got to get to step B. And they've got the answer. But they always have more questions for us.
Fact of life. Women always have more questions than men have answers to.
Yeah.
Great example of this. 6-7 months ago, I get a text one day. The text says, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. I walk into the kitchen where my wife is. I said, hey, I just got a text that said, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. She said, was he driving? I said, I don't know. I just got a text that said, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. Were Carol and the kids in the car with him? I don't know. I just got a text that said, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. Were the people in the other car hurt? I don't know. I just got a text that said, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. What hospital did they take him to? I don't know. I just got a text that said, please pray for Tom. He was in a bad wreck. She said, well, you don't know anything. What do you know? I know you need to pray for Tom. I just got a text that said he was in a bad wreck.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I say start small and work up. Now try again, boy. Kids nowadays and know it all.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
I was reading an article, and believe it or not, it's about a topic I haven't talked about in a while. It's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle, and the woman who started this organization in India knows something about that. Her name is Hasina Karbi, I think is how you say her last name. But we go back a little bit to a young woman in her early teens. Early teens. Think about your daughter in her early teens. Her name is Ella. She's living in a shelter. This happens to be in New Delhi. The authorities come in and tell her someone's coming to take her back to Northeast India. There's something about this woman, Hasina, that has earned the teen's instant trust. She now calls her mother, and she agreed to return to Northeast India with her. Ella, the young teenager, is just one of more than 72,000 women and children who have been victims of human trafficking across India, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and Nepal. It's very prevalent, obviously, and now find themselves free thanks to Hasina Karbi. She's 49 years old, and as a matter of empathy, as she strives to put a dent into this human trafficking industry in India and the surrounding countries, like she talks a lot about the borders. That's the key right there. It is a $32 billion industry. Human trafficking. One of the things is, I think in a lot of these cultures, it's kind of thought of to be, that's the situation. That's just the way it is, right? The woman who started this organization, Hasina, was just a schoolgirl when she started supporting social development and vulnerable communities in Northeast India. And now she has a tracking center that works with 1,000 non-governmental organizations and governmental departments across South and Southeast Asia, and has been endorsed by the United Kingdom. It is an incredible problem there, but it's also a problem right in where we are, right here. It's been pretty amazing, and I'm just checking out some resources from that, and I want to let you know, posting for you about what's going on here. You would probably be stunned to realize, I mean, and every once in a while they make the news. Nowadays it's very difficult to make in the news. You know what is in the forefront of the news, but usually it's out of desperation for somebody who needs money, and then they're tricked into, you know, going somewhere and meeting somebody else, and then they just disappear. In these countries, in India, of course, there's so many people there, and there's so many people living in incredible poverty. And so it's a way to get out of that, and it's very enticing. And these people know exactly what they're doing, and they just keep doing it. It's just incredible. I mean, the numbness of which it's a business that they do, but lives are taken without, against their will, and put to service. That's just absolutely incredible. So I'm going to post some resources for you on that. And I came across that, and I thought, you mean to tell me one woman can do this? A 49-year-old woman working. She's connected with 1,000 different non-governmental organizations. So far in her life, she's rescued more than 72,000 women. That's absolutely incredible.
The sound of life.
So it's coming out in the news all over the place. This is for real. I thought, well, it's something that you would get done at the eye doctor, but no, you can do this at home. I guess you don't open your eyes, but you shine a deep red light. Now, deep red. I guess the deeper red it is, the flatter the curve is. Okay, 3 minutes a day into your eye, even through the eyelid. It can significantly improve declining eyesight, finds a new University College London-led study, first of its kind in humans. Scientists believe the discovery, published this week in the journals of whatever the thing is, could help the millions of people globally with naturally declining vision. I mean, it's just one of those things, right? By signaling the dawn of new affordable home-based eye therapies. Researchers built on their previous findings in mice, bumblebees, and fruit flies. How do you examine the eye of it? Never mind. Found significant improvements in the function of the retina's photoreceptors when their eyes were exposed to deep red or long wavelength light. I got that from the Good News Network, so it's okay. It's been out on the news. So I was thinking the eye may be the one part between a man and a woman that we share that's the same. Very complicated and delicate. Amazing. Amazing. Even Charles Darwin, I don't know if you know this or not, that was one of his biggest stumbling blocks. Was how does that, and it's like, no kidding. Really? How does an eye develop in animals? And how does an eye develop so it can change underwater so the animals don't see blurry? And how? Well, anyway, I just keep on going.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.